This is The Headline with Brandon Waltons, bringing you the biggest stories from across Texas. The Headline gives you the news you need to be an informed citizen.
Well, hello, everybody. Happy Friday. I'm Brandon Waltons. Thank you for joining us on The Headline. Today, we're going to be trying to break down exactly what's going on. Some real tensions, some real battles happening right now in the Texas Capitol between some of the statewide leaders and between the House and the Senate themselves. We're going to go through that timeline right now with Jeremy Kitchen, our Capitol correspondent. Jeremy, okay, this is something that has been building up, I think, to attention, but it's really kind of built up over the last week. We, of course, had the winter storms last month left a lot of Texans without power. Has left some Texans with really, really high electric bills and some providers with really high electric bills. Since then, a lot of attention's been paid to the Electrical Reliability Council of Texas. That's ERCOT, which is overseen by the Public Utility Commission, the PUC. We might be using some of those abbreviations as we talk. And all those people are appointed by the governor. Since then, you've had, before this week, you had two members of the three-member commission stepped down with just one left over. We're going to talk about him. So they've got these high prices. These were set by ERCOT. And over the last couple weeks, you've seen some, including Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, call for them to reprice, or essentially retroactively go back and lower those rates. Dan Patrick, Lieutenant Governor, on Thursday, grilled the lone member of the PUC, Arthur D'Andrea, about repricing, sort of setting the stage for this. Explain what happened there.
Yeah, well, to my knowledge, maybe not unprecedented, but to my knowledge, having observed the Texas legislature for a long time now, I've never seen the lieutenant governor go inside a committee meeting, right, and do what he did last Thursday, which maybe is a testament to just how passionate, right, Lieutenant Governor is about the subject. But he went into, I guess it was the Senate State Affairs Committee meeting to question the Commissioner D'Andrea about repricing. He indicated that the commissioner indicated he didn't have the authority, right, to do that, which is exactly what the Senate and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick seemed to disagree with.
Right. So that happened on last Thursday. Then on Friday, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, Friday night, sent a letter to Governor Greg Abbott telling him to step in, telling him to weigh in and to force the Public Utility Commission to go and lower these rates. Abbott said, I've been an attorney general, I've been on the Texas Supreme Court, and I actually agree with D'Andrea. I don't think they have the authority. This is something that the legislature needs to do. And indeed, Patrick took those words to heart. And on Monday, we saw something really, I don't know if it's unprecedented, but certainly well outside the ordinary, where the Senate really did get to work to write a bill to address this.
That's right, yeah. Senate Bill 2142, authored by Senator Hughes. It was filed, it should be noted, right, filed after the bill filing deadline, which was last Friday. And in a matter of like 4 hours, a little bit over, the bill was drafted, filed, right, shepherded through, because they suspended a whole bunch of rules on the Senate side,
right,
shepherded through Jurisprudence Committee,
right?
And they had like a 3-minute hearing, no public testimony, back on the floor, voted out, I think 27-3, right? And so it's now sitting in the House.
Exactly. And so for one, when you talk about that, I mean, this was a bill that did not exist before the Senate gaveled in that morning.
Right.
And by the end of the day, it had already been sent over and received by the House.
Right.
A point to be made there, separate and aside from this electrical issue, I think, is that anything that is prioritized, that is a real priority from the legislature and from the leaders, including the lieutenant governor or even the Speaker of the House, if something is a priority, they can get it done. So I think,
absolutely,
if nothing else, the excuse that they've run out of time on whatever priority you want to talk about, be it, you know, abolishing abortion or election integrity, that excuse is out of the window right now. So that was Monday. The House receives this bill that Senate passes that's going to force the Public Utility Commission to go in and to go lower those rates. And on Tuesday of this week, Speaker Phelan said he wasn't going to do it.
Yeah, that's right. The speaker notably did it right when the Senate had convened Tuesday, too, right? I don't know if there's any there necessarily, but the House had already convened right that day, and he sent out a statement essentially saying something to the effect of he just disagreed, mm-hmm. right, that this was the right approach and that they were going to kind of fall back on what he had prioritized or said was the approach a week before that.
You look at Phelan's statement then, I've got it pulled up. I mean, he says the PUC's actions may have saved lives. He said that repricing based on disagreement with PUC and ERCOT's management decisions is an extraordinary government intervention into the free market, and said that it may have major consequences for both residential and commercial consumers going forward. So certainly both chambers staking aside. Always loving to have the last word. Patrick, shortly after, responded in a speech to his senators on the Senate floor, saying the Texas Senate stood for individuals and the House is standing for big business, and that the governor hadn't weighed in. That seemed to be a pretty big news day on Tuesday, right. But it wasn't the last piece of news on Tuesday.
The layers of the onion keep coming off, seemingly. That's right.
Yes, exactly. So you had a report, the recording released by Texas Monthly, in which DeAndrea, that again was the loan commissioner, the chairman of the Public Utility Commission, he had with out-of-state investors who profited from the crisis, is their words, in which he worked to reassure them that he was going to keep their windfall safe, essentially said, I'm working against the clock here. These payments are going to go out. They're going to run out of time. We'll slow it down. That apparently was one step too far for Governor Greg Abbott on Tuesday.
Yeah, if you listen to the recording, it's pretty damning, right? It certainly seems suspicious, right? It seems kind of contrary to caring about what kind of the normal ratepayer necessarily mm-hmm. thinks about this whole thing. And so I'm sure politically, right, there was kind of no alternative for the governor.
And so that night, Governor Greg Abbott asked for and accepted Arthur DeAndrea's resignation. Now, he hasn't technically sure. left the commission because he's the only one on it right now and they have to wait to appoint someone. Sure. But he is going to be resigning. And Governor Abbott said he'll be naming a replacement in the coming days, and that person would chart a, quote, new and fresh course for the agency. This move seemed to be one where he was actually now siding more with Patrick and the senators versus the House, who he had seen him side with previously. Again, however, Abbott not really saying exactly what he felt is the best action forward. That was a lot of news on Tuesday, right? So if you're following along. Wednesday, okay? Now we're in Wednesday. Attorney General Ken Paxton released an opinion that essentially said the Public Utility Commission did have the authority to do it and actually was sort of siding with Patrick, right?
Right. So Lieutenant Governor Patrick had solicited an opinion from the Attorney General. And of course, his opinion basically said and kind of confirmed what the Lieutenant Governor and the Senate, by voting for the bill, had kind of said, which is the PUC does in fact have the authority. He also cleared up or attempted to clear up in his opinion. There was some concern about, you know, some constitutional provisions that might take be problematic, and accordingly, Attorney General, he believes in any court, right? They would say it wouldn't interfere at all. So
at the same time, you had a weird coalition building up where you didn't just have Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick and Attorney General Ken Paxton and most of the Senate, I think 27 of the members supporting this move, but you also saw some more unlikely figures. You had State Representative, a Democrat, Trey Martinez Fisher, actually going to the back mic, going and asking Speaker Phelan on the floor of the House if they could bring that bill up for consideration. Because the deadline, this is important to note as we look going forward, the deadline is today for those payments to be settled. So they're all working against the clock for today, which is Friday. This was on Wednesday. Representative Martinez Fisher says, can we bring this bill to a committee of the whole, essentially a process allowed for in the rules where a bill can be considered in a committee that involves every member? And so they actually kind of hold a committee hearing on the floor of the House. Speaker Phelan says, you're not recognized for this motion, which really harkened back, I think, to some of the interesting things we would see that where conservatives disagreed with Joe Strauss, Speaker Joe Strauss, several years ago, and where motions would not be recognized. So certainly something that was concerning. But again, you had Speaker Phelan saying, doubling down, that this is not the approach that the House is going to take.
That's right. That's right. I think the notable thing there, too, is I think that was on day 65 of the 140-day session, so 2 days ago or whenever that was. And that was the first time so far this session that there's really been any kind of contention, if you will, between the Speaker and someone from the back mic. So
on Thursday, so yesterday, we're now to Thursday, following along on this timeline, the House adjourned for the weekend without taking up or considering that Senate bill that was passed. Even as the deadline loomed for Friday, we saw Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick again out there holding a press conference. What did he say during his most recent conference yesterday?
So ultimately, he kind of stuck up again for their approach, right? Kind of expressed disappointment, if you will, that the House didn't do anything in his estimation before the deadline. And then, notably called on the governor to step in and do something. He called specifically for two different things. One was for the governor to just kind of, since he's under an emergency order, emergency declaration, right? Lieutenant Governor Patrick expressed that he believes the governor has the authority, right, to direct the PUC, right, to do something about it before the deadline. Mm-hmm. He said, if you don't do that, at least call for an investigation, which in his estimation would delay, right, the deadline, which is set for today, to give them more time to figure out in both chambers what to do.
Which brings us to today. We've not seen Governor Greg Abbott really release any sort of big public statement about what he plans on doing. The clock is ticking. Today is the day those payouts go out, and there's a lot of eyes right now saying, who's going to ultimately win this battle?
Sure. I hearken back. So the lieutenant governor said it in his press conference too, but Senator Perry, to his credit, said when they were deliberating on the floor, Senate Bill 2142, he said there's only two real options here, right? Is mm-hmm. that the price is passed down to consumers, or the legislature writes a check or appropriates money, right, out of there. And both, if you ask me, are kind of generally not that they're not, someone's paying for it at the end of the day, right? And what's unknown is who's going to pay for it.
And it's also very interesting, I think, to see, even with the policies set aside, with these exact repricing, policies set aside, is this is a real departure now we are seeing from 2 years ago, which was sort of the time of unity, where you right. often saw the governor and lieutenant governor and the speaker, then Dennis Bonin, in lockstep on every issue. This is a pretty notable departure from that. And the question is, how is that going to play out as the session goes forward?
It was definitely, there's some definite lines in the sand. I think the other thing that's notable from yesterday's press conference by the lieutenant governor is he made sure multiple times to talk about, he's generally, I think it was 95% of the time, he's in agreement with the governor. It's just mm-hmm. not on this issue, but expressed they have a good working relationship sure. and everything. So it'll be interesting to see going forward.
We'll be following that. I know it's a lot to follow along with. It's a big timeline. But this is how we got from, right. The temperatures dropped and relationships got frigid in the Texas Capitol as well right now. Fighting was not the only thing that happened under the dome this week, though. You actually saw in the Texas Senate some of our first bills being passed out of the chamber. Among some of those bills, I'll note this, the first bills being passed out were bills dealing with caregivers' rights, people who were locked out of nursing homes. But you also see some priorities start to move inside of committee. So you had, outside of state affairs this week, you had 7 pro-life bills passed out after a marathon hearing earlier this week. Two of those that are interesting, one of them is the heartbeat bill, Senate Bill 8, and the other is Senate Bill 650 from Donna Campbell, which prevents local governments from funding abortion logistic expenses. The first one, Heartbeat, this is a bill that didn't have much of a chance when it was filed and sessions passed.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, it's notable this session that there's a Heartbeat bill or a version of that in both chambers. Last session, there was only a Heartbeat bill in the House, even though it had a ton of Republican co-authors, never got a hearing in the committee that was chaired by a Democrat there in the House. Notably this time, it's Senator Hughes who authored this bill. It's his committee, right. Senate State Affairs, right? And it got a hearing, and all of those bills passed out of the committee.
So that's the Heartbeat bill. You also got Senate Bill 650, I said, by Donna Campbell. We've seen situations in Austin, even as recently as this month, where the city of Austin has funded, there was legislation passed 2 years ago where they couldn't directly fund organizations like Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers. Oh, but they'll use citizens' tax dollars to fund babysitting while right. people go to those facilities or use their transportation or even in Austin, notably, their sweetheart $1 a That's year right. lease for their facility in East Austin. So this legislation is aimed at fixing that. It's certainly a moving target because, again, this is something that they tried to address 2 years ago. And unfortunately, you saw cities like Austin try to evade it. Time will tell if this legislation ultimately passes, if that's going to be enough. We'll have to find out. Another GOP priority being considered and actually moving through the process, not just pro-life legislation, but we also have started to see some election integrity reform bills move through the House and the Senate committees. One of them in the House we'll talk about here, Aaron Anderson has written about, is, and it'll be up after the show, you can check it out. But she's written about House Bill 574 by Greg Bonin. What is that one?
Ultimately, I mean, it does a few things, but ultimately it increases the penalty for election fraud, right? I think it creates two additional penalties, mm-hmm. If I recall correctly, but it kind of hones in on defining better, maybe, right, what election fraud is, and then increases the penalty for it to try to prohibit that action. So.
And in the Senate, not to be outdone, they've got Senate Bill 155, another priority bill for the Texas Republican Party. By Charles Perry. That one deals with checking for non-citizens.
That's right. So, and it does this, this is a bill that he has filed in the past. Mm-hmm. But what it does is it uses the jury list, if you will, for people that go or that get tapped for jury service, uses that list and kind of puts it for the mm-hmm. voter registration list and whether or not they're citizens or non-citizens. And it passed out of committee, and I believe it's on the intent calendar in the Senate for next week.
Well, we'll see what other priorities continue to move. I know we've heard rumblings that election integrity is going to be a big focus in the next weeks. That maybe there might be some Second Amendment legislation as well. We'll be checking out. I guess we'll have on Monday, you'll be doing right. This Week in Texas yeah. and giving a little bit of a preview as stuff starts to get more busy.
That's right. The committee postings are still being posted, so we're still kind of summarizing
we'll
what
wrangle that all together.
That's right.
Figure that out. So we'll be looking forward to that. Want to give a quick shout out to everybody watching. Tom from Hockley, Becky watching from Liberty Hill close by here, Mike watching from Ozona, Sharon tuning in from Fort Worth, and Joel Starnes watching from DFW. Nice to see you joining us, Joel. Want to let everybody know, as I mentioned, we got This Week in Texas coming up on Monday. You're going to be laying out the preview of what's going to be happening in the legislature for folks who want to get involved and follow that. We've also got two tools up at texasscorecard.com to help out in that process. We've got the Texas directory where we've now added statewide officials. So you actually can find all the contact information, how to get a hold of your state representative, state senator, congressman, senator, all the way up to the governor. All that is at texasscorecard.com. And then we've also got our bill tracker, which will be updated again today as the Republican Party has sent out their updates. And so those are two great tools up at texasscorecard.com. Man, Jeremy, it's going to be, just tell me, is it going to be a busy week next week?
I think we're starting to ramp up. We're getting to almost the halfway point of session. So I think you'll have kind of the slow ramp up ride of bills. The question is are mm-hmm. they going to be priorities of folks or what?
So. We'll see and we'll be watching. But I'll enjoy this weekend while we still have them. So anyways, thank you everybody for tuning in. Hope you have a great weekend as well. We'll see you next week. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you for listening to The Headline from Texas Scorecard. We're live every Friday at 11 a.m. on the Texas Scorecard Facebook page to talk about the biggest stories of the week, so check us out there or listen to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, whatever platform you prefer. And while you're there, you can also check out the ever-growing line of podcasts and programming provided by Texas Scorecard.